it's Food Friday, and here at Central Time, we thought it might be a good time to go back to basics. This week, we're looking at tips for people who are new to the kitchen. Our own in-house foodies are going to be sharing things they wish they had known when they started cooking, and we hope you'll share your own essential cooking advice, too. Call in at 800-642-1234. What is your best advice for a new or learning kitchen cook, and what do you wish you had known when you got started that you know now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson is a big cook herself. She sometimes makes stuff for us here on the Central Time team. Hey, Judith.
Hey, Rob. Good to be here.
Let's get it started. We've got some clips to play from cooks and our colleagues here, but what was on your mind when you started thinking about great advice for new cooks?
Sure. One of the most important things, I think, is make sure you have sharp knives. Don't use a dull knife. If you're like me and somewhat accident prone in the kitchen, dull knives, much worse cuts. Clean cuts come from sharp knives. Also, you're less likely to cut yourself if you have a good sharp knife because it goes through whatever you're cutting a lot easier, and you don't have to use as much muscle.
And a follow-up tip, if you sharpen knives, let anybody else who uses those knives know they're sharpened, because I've been burned on that one before. The knife I expected to be dull, and I cut a good clean cut with that sharp knife.
Yes, but a cut nonetheless.
Here's one that people have been saying over the years, food safety people, cooks, whatever, get a meat thermometer.
Yes.
They're cheap. They're good digital ones. I finally got one that I like using. And the great thing is, I'm paranoid about cooking meat. The thing I did without a meat thermometer was I overcooked everything, and now I cook things right, and this is amazing. They're way better.
They are. They're not as dry.
Well, I want to give a listen to Chris Kimball now. He was on the show not too long ago, Milk Street Kitchen guy. You know him, Chris Kimball.
Yep.
You hear him on our airwaves. Here is him talking some about some spice basics.
Here is one of my revelations, which, you know, wasn't brilliant. It came to me late, but, you know, I've cooked out of Mastering Out of French Cooking since it came out almost. And I was thinking, like, well, how many spices were used in that book? You know, almost none. How many herbs? Four or five, you know, with the small amounts. How many chilies? None. How much ginger? None. You know, how much fermented sauce? So the world has at its disposal in different places all sorts of big flavors, right? So I would say there are four or five spices you should have. You don't have to go crazy. Cumin and coriander being sort of the two. Smoked paprika, maybe turmeric, maybe a different kind of pepper. but cumin certainly in the Middle East is the black pepper of the Middle East. They use salt and cumin, not salt and pepper. So half a dozen spices. A good soy sauce and a good fish sauce are really helpful. And having some dried chilies around, you know, which you can get at almost any supermarket these days, like a New Mexico chili, which isn't that spicy, is great. And then, you know, when you go shopping, buy, you know, some lots of herbs. We just did a recipe here that had 2 cups of cilantro, 2 cups of parsley, and 1 cup of dill. So just by upping the amount of herbs you use, you can completely change a recipe. For example, lots of places in the world, when they do chicken soup, they'll throw in a couple handfuls of herbs at the end. Handfuls. So it's not always a question of having something different. It's just using more of it.
Chris Kimball there from Milk Street Kitchen. We're sharing cooking advice, cooking basics, and you can share your advice for new cooks at 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers. Derek is with us in Galesville. Derek, hi.
Hi.
What's your advice, Derek?
I have advice for peeling eggs.
Ooh, that's a tough one for me.
So you take a container and fill about, I don't know, a quarter way with water, and then you shake it, and the egg peel will come right off.
Do you shake the egg in the water, like shake it so it's like bouncing off the sides of the container, that kind of shake?
Yeah.
And that peels right off. Okay, Derek, thank you so much for that.
Rob's going to try that.
I am cursed, I think, with boiling eggs and trying to peel them cleanly.
Especially when you want them to be a whole egg.
Right, you want them to be
pretty.
It never
works. Like, if you're trying to make deviled eggs, always ends up as egg salad for me. But what I have learned, Robin, and thanks for that tip, Derek, is that actually the fresher the egg, the harder it's going to be to peel if it's a hard-boiled egg. So if you, for instance, have friends that have chickens, don't get the eggs from them and try to hard boil them right away. Actually, the ones that have maybe been at the store in your fridge for a week or two peel much more easily.
Thanks so much for that call, Derek, at 800-642-1234. Here's one from our colleague Jill of Larry Mueller Show fame. This is one I was going to mention myself. Read the if you're working from a recipe,
yes.
Read the entire recipe before starting. I got burned on that a couple times. It was some kind of potato. It might have been a scalloped potato recipe. Cooking, I see a bake for 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I time it. I back time it like radio people do.
Yep.
I'm going to have it ready for dinner. I'm halfway through the recipe. Pull out of the oven, do a thing, bake for 30 minutes
yep.
in addition to that
mm-hmm.
60. So there, boom, dinner's half an hour later than planned.
Right. And I would also say that don't assume that you have the staples that are called
right.
for in a recipe on hand. Really actually go and look that you have everything, because if you're like me, you use the last of something that you buy maybe only once or twice a year and you forget to go get more. So read through the recipe, make sure you have all the ingredients you're assuming you're having, and make sure you're doing the timing right.
We are sharing cooking advice for new cooks, people maybe early on in their kitchen careers, trying it for the first time, or, you know, developing through the years. I'm still learning a lot on Food Friday. You can join in with your advice at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Marsha on Facebook. She says, get yourself a couple of great basic cookbooks like The Joy of Cooking or the Betty Crocker cookbook. Once you've mastered something, give it your own personal spin. I still have a Betty Crocker cookbook that one of my aunts gave me when I first moved into an apartment
mm-hmm.
and had a kitchen. Huge stuff I still flip open and go back to
oh, yeah.
X number of years later. I'm not naming numbers here. Were you a Betty Crocker person at any point?
So, yes, and I actually have a book that I still use. I am in my early 50s, and I have a book that's called The Cook-Along Book. It's a kid's cookbook that uh-huh. is geared towards kids cooking with their parents. There are at least three or four recipes in that cookbook that I still make as an adult, and
fantastic.
They are just great, basic, and I get a kick out of them, too, because in the middle, all of a sudden, in all capital letters, it'll say, be careful with that knife, or have you washed your hands recently? But the cookbook is so much worse for the wear, but I still, there's a beef stew in there. Every time I want to make it, I go to that.
And it's still good advice for grown-ups, too.
Yes.
We'll go to Bob in La Crosse now. Bob, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What advice do you have, Bob?
One thing I learned early on was switching between a gas stove and electric
Ooh.
Stove. It can be very different. So if you learn and do something well one way and have to switch devices, you have to adjust your techniques a little bit when you're switching between those.
Yeah, I've done almost all gas cooking in my life, and yeah, it's a little learning curve when I'm somewhere and I use an electric stove. Any tips on how to make that jump?
It's just always thinking with electric stoves, the heat transfer is always going to be slower. So if you're turning something down, turn it down a little bit sooner. With a gas stove, it's almost an instantaneous change. With electric, the residual heat stays on a whole lot longer. So it's slower to heat up and slower to cool down.
Exactly. And that's a great tip, Bob, because I had grown up on gas, and then in my first apartment, it was electric. And yeah, I turned something off assuming it was going to stop cooking, and it didn't. So that's really great advice. Thanks so much for that advice, Bob, at 800-642-1234. Let's go next to Joe in Wausau. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
What's your advice?
I've learned how to make gravy that never fails. There's a couple ways to make gravy. You can add the flour to the a little bit of grease that's left in a roasting pan, or you can pour off all the grease and just let the grease that clings to the bottom of the pan in there, and then add your flour to some water in a jar and shake it, and then add that to the roasting pan. So using cold water helps dissolve the flour, and you don't get lumps.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Good gravy advice. Yeah, gravy is one of those I always hesitate sometimes to make. I think it's harder than it is. We asked around here at the studio. We heard from Dean Knetter, Central Time producer. He says oil for heat, butter for flavor. Here's a listen.
The cooking tip that I wish I had known a long time ago was oil for heat, butter for flavor. Use it when making eggs, vegetables, just about anything. You heat them up with the oil, and if you want to actually taste them, get some butter in there.
That's good advice. And there's some things I'll only fry, like pancakes, I'm going to make them in butter. Eggs, I'm going to make them in butter, because that's part of the flavor that I'm looking for there.
So actually what I do with those really nice big sea scallops is I was taught to make it with half oil and half butter, because you can get the higher heat with the, I use canola oil, but the butter just gives it that really great flavor and the and a little bit of browning. And so, yeah, I hadn't really thought about doing both together, but you can get a little bit out of both.
We'll go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Teresa is with us in Madison. Teresa, hi.
Hey, hi. How are you doing?
Good. What's your advice?
I agree with you. Always make sure you read the recipe. But one thing that has helped me a lot, and in also teaching my husband and my kids to cook, was to make sure that you always get all your ingredients, put them on the counter, and as you use them, put them away. That way you avoid doubling up on something or mistakenly putting in, say, a cup of salt rather than a cup of sugar.
That can make a big difference. Thank you so much for that. And I'm a big fan of that. And it also, if you're at that critical stage when something's cooking along and you need to add the next thing and you're fumbling around looking for it, that'll save you that.
And Kate on Facebook actually said, my mom would have said, clean as you go.
Oh, I do that.
But she says, her motto is, find someone who will clean if you cook. So that's also a good thing. Yeah, and that's, you know, because sometimes it is the cleanup after that makes you think, I don't want to make this complicated recipe. But hey, if you share
the load.
If
you've got time while it's baking, too, you can clean up. We're sharing cooking advice and tips for people who are maybe new to the kitchen on this edition of Food Friday. Judith Sears Poisson, executive producer at Central Time, is here with us. And you too, if you want, at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Tell us what you wish you knew when you first started cooking. What do you wish somebody had told you? Or did you get great advice early on that made a big difference for you? Call 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday conversation with cooking advice for beginners. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears Poisson is in the studio, and you can join in with your cooking advice at 800-642-1234. What do you think people should know as they get started? What do you wish you had known? We asked around the WPR studios for some advice. It wasn't always fancy. Here's Carl Christensen.
One of the first cooking tips I taught my 2-year-old son was, if you're ever going to make a frozen pizza, always open it up over the sink so that any cheese that falls off, it'll just be right there already near the garbage disposable for a quick cleanup.
It's good advice. I have teenagers in my house. I wish I'd thought of that years ago.
Well, we have Max in Two Rivers on the line who has a pizza tip too, so let's go there. Hi, Max.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What do you have to tell us?
So I got two tips here. First tip, pretty quick. If you guys are making a cake out of a box or cornbread and you want it a bit sweeter, replace water with apple juice. And then by doing that, you can kind of pull some of the sugar from it, too. So it's not as sugary. And it gives it a nice, moist taste, and it's not so bland.
Nice.
The other tip I would let everybody know is pizza stones are incredibly expensive, in my opinion. But for a fraction of the cost, you can go to your local hardware store and pick up some terracotta tiles and cover the bottom of your rack in your oven, and that'll perform the same function as the pizza stone.
That's great. Max says unglazed, non-glazed tiles for people listening. If you do that, I've heard that advice a couple of times. Max, thank you so much for sharing that. And let's go back to our callers. Kim is with us in Wazika. Kim, hi.
Hello. How are you this afternoon?
Good. What did you want to tell us, Kim?
I think everyone should learn how to make a basic white sauce.
Okay.
Basic white sauce is your foundation for an Alfredo sauce, scalloped potatoes, macaroni and cheese, and you can change each one of them. Now, I know tonight I'm going to make clam chowder for supper, and that's how I start, is with a basic white sauce.
Huh.
So that's a staple for so many things. And the other thing is, in your spice cabinet, most people, and my children have been very surprised to find when they go to other people's houses that they have salt and pepper.
So you're kind of going with the Chris Kimball idea of there's a lot of great seasonings and spices and herbs out there that can really bump up the flavor on things.
Yes. We, growing up, my mother had a massive herb garden, and we put up herbs for the winter. Mm. You know, we'd use them fresh in the summer, and we'd have them all winter. But dry mustard, mustard powder, eggs, whether they're scrambled eggs or you put them on deviled eggs or in macaroni and cheese, it adds another dimension to the flavor.
Great, Kim. Thank you so much for that. We are taking your cooking advice for new cooks at 800-642-1234.
And you know, Rob, we were talking earlier about cleaning as you go and things like that. Christine on Facebook actually wrote, her advice is sing and don't be afraid of messing up the kitchen. And, you know, if you're using a recipe, select one with the least amount of steps. She thinks overcomplication is what drives people away from cooking. Yeah, you don't have to jump in on the most complex thing. We talked with Brianne Chasso, who is a WPR fill-in producer, and this is what she had to say.
My cooking tip is to read the instructions first. I've always thought of myself as being a pretty good cook, but I prepared my first Thanksgiving dinner for a crowd this year alone. Thought, you know, oh, it's this many pounds of turkey, it'll thaw in this amount of time, and I didn't really read the instructions. So, of course, it's the morning of the dinner that I'm hosting, and my turkey is as frozen as it can be. So I went through emergency tips from my mom, but ultimately had to run out and buy a fresh turkey. And I ultimately had 30 pounds of turkey cooked by the end of that weekend.
Well, we know what Brianne was eating, probably still eating after that. You know, and actually, turkey is a great one to throw in advice that I learned the hard way as a teenager making a Thanksgiving dinner. There is, in most turkeys, a plastic bag full of giblets, and you need to take that out in order to not have cooked plastic in the middle of your meal. So stick your hand in there, feel around, especially as you're thawing it. When it's frozen, it might be hard to tell that there is something in there, but especially as it's thawing, stick your hand in there and make sure there's not a bag of goodies.
Don't bake the plastic. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Nancy is with us in Grafton. Nancy, hi.
Well, hello. I just wanted to say, well, I'm an old gal, you know, and I've got a lot of old recipe books, and a lot of them have, when you're baking bread, scald the milk at the... Well, that was years ago when you got the milk out of the milk can in the farm, you know, because it was raw milk. But now everything is pasteurized, so you don't have to scald the milk anymore. You could just get it lukewarm, so when you put your yeast in there, you know, it's going to be the right temperature. But that's for people who are learning how to bake bread with old cookbooks.
Nancy, thank you so much for sharing this. Yeah, I can imagine a lot of people baking bread and wanting a classic cookbook,
right,
and yeah, getting that unnecessary advice to scald that raw milk, which isn't raw,
right,
for the most
That's
part these
a
days.
Great, yeah, you know, a lot of, yeah, especially those kind of vintage recipes, I never really thought about that the products actually change. One of our Facebook followers, Elizabeth, said, just get cooking. At first, cook following recipes that call for unprocessed foods, then experiment. And she says an America's Test Kitchen type of book with recipes with lots of explanations help. And she's also on the clean as you go advice train.
I want to listen now to Noah Ovshinsky. He's our news director here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's a big food fan, a big cook himself. Here's a listen to his advice.
Two hacks that I tell people. First, buy large eggs. When you go to the supermarket, you sometimes have a choice of different sizes. Always buy large eggs. Most, if not all, recipes that you'll find online or in books are designed using large eggs. My number two hack is always buy unsalted butter. I should say always cook with unsalted butter so that you maintain, as a cook, ultimate control over the seasoning. So you cook your dish, and at the end, you then add salt to you or your fellow eater's liking.
That's pretty good. I'm pretty modest with the salt for the most part, so using salted butter usually gives me most of what I needed. But maybe I'll try that with the unsalted butter.
And I would say, you know, there's most things benefit from a little bit of salt. You can actually get some really interesting salts. I got, as a part of kind of a gift basket, smoked salt. It is amazing. So you get the saltiness, but then you also get this little smoky flavor. So, you know, look for some interesting salts along with those interesting spices and herbs that we were talking about.
And one more piece of of advice that I would have for new cooks is don't be afraid to take shortcuts or take the easy way out early on. You can get fancy later on. So with, you know, early on when I'd make soup, and soup is a great thing for beginning cooks, I'd be like, oh, should I feel bad that I'm not going to try to make my own stock and do it all the way? No, don't feel bad. That can take a long time. Mm-hmm. Get whatever you like. Bouillon cubes. I like the better than bouillon glop that you spoon
in. Yes, I love that too.
Some people use stock. It's not cheating. There's nothing wrong with it. And then you can really tweak it to your flavor, to your desires then. And it's a good fast way to get started on soup.
And you know what else is a really good tweak that no one needs to feel badly about is frozen vegetables if you're cooking, especially something like a soup or a
especially in the winter when stuff may not be in season.
Yes. And, you know, especially now the freezing techniques there, it's really as good as fresh. If you're going to cook it anyway, start with the frozen. You can actually get organic pretty cheaply. It's easy to portion out so you don't have to worry about wasting. So yeah, go for the frozen.
And another, speaking of frozen, actually, quiche is something that looks really impressive. You don't have to make your own crust. It's okay to buy the pre-frozen crust. And if you're starting with that, it's incredibly easy, especially thin, not a deep dish. It bakes up. Deep dish can take a long time to bake. That thin crust, you can make four of them, cook up the veggies, bacon, whatever, and it's a showstopper and really pretty quick and easy.
Another good tip that I have is often I'm making two or three things because I want leftovers or I want to cook for the week. If most of the things have garlic or onions or maybe carrots or celery, cook it all together and then just portion it out instead of, you know, doing a little bit and then starting over. You know, look at those. Don't just read the first recipe. Read all the recipes. And then you've got a start on all the dishes.
Judith, thanks a lot for joining
in on
this. A lot of fun. And thanks to all of you for your calls and your advice. You can keep sharing your advice for new cooks early in their career. Cooks to help out in the kitchen. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page and see what other people have to offer as well. Again, tell us what you wish you knew when you started cooking over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.